Behold the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity. Toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. Words Paul recorded in Romans 11:22. A reminder really to us that that's the present age in which we live. And by that I mean really on this side of eternity. A time of choice and a time of decision. It's a principle we see throughout the Old Testament, principle we see throughout the New Testament. We walk with God, He will be faithful. He will be faithful whether we walk with Him or not. But we walk with Him, we're going to enjoy His promises. We turn from Him, we cut ourselves off from them. Even there in Romans 11, it's a reminder that you as Gentiles now have the opportunity to be faithful unto God and enjoy His promises. And if the Jews would humble themselves and be faithful unto God, they could enjoy His promises too. And so we can enjoy those promises, but it's based on how we live. What are we doing with Christ? Are we humbling ourselves to Him, or are we rejecting His authority? We've spoken all month about the idea of rejecting the authority of Christ. We've gotten to see from Brian and Royce and Mike the ideas of what happens in this life and sometimes the consequences thereof of rejecting the authority of Christ. But here, coming to the idea as we approach the last Wednesday night of the month and the last Wednesday night of the year, to understand there are eternal consequences when we reject the authority of Christ. And this principle, again, I think we all know, but yet can enjoy and appreciate, hopefully, the reminders. And so we live in this time in which we have that question to ask ourselves, what will you do with Christ? What will you do with His authority? What will you do with the one who has all authority? Matthew 28, verse 18. What do you do with the one who invites us to come unto Him? Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. And that we can enjoy those blessings and those promises. The logical understanding we ought to have is that I ought to humble myself to Him. Paul's going to deal with that in the very next chapter in Romans chapter 12 as he opens in verse 1 and 2. I've looked at God's salvation. I've looked at the hope that He's made possible to us in these first 11 chapters. And now I'm urging you, I'm begging you, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Makes sense. Based on what God has done for us, that you would humble yourself unto Him and follow Him. It's a logical conclusion. It's what we ought to do. Paul deals with it in Philippians 2 and verse 11 or 9 through 11. The very idea that here is Jesus who's humbled Himself, been obedient even unto the death of the cross. And so God has highly exalted Him, given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, which is in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, to the glory of God the Father. That's what makes sense. It's what we ought to do. Again, in Romans 14, verse 11 and 12, as it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." I see in those the principles. Based on who Jesus is, based on what He has done for us, based going into Romans, based on the idea that He will serve as our judge and one day we'll stand before Him. I ought to bow before Him. I ought to humble myself to Him. I ought to subject myself to His authority. But there's that reminder, that's the choice that I have now. I can bow myself to Him. I can subject myself to His authority, or I can reject it. I may or may not face consequences to that in this life. Royce looked at some of the consequences last week of what happens when we rebel against God's will and we face some consequences. But sometimes we look and people seem to thrive. God's people have dealt with that through time. We read it in the Bible. How did the wicked prosper? It doesn't make sense to me. Sometimes there's not always consequences in this life. But there will be in eternity. Because that time of choice will one day end. One day it will cease. And Jesus spoke of that. John 5, verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the time will come, which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Two choices. It's not how you live your life. What do you do with the authority of Christ? Do you subject yourself or do you reject it? Two choices that lead to two consequences, the only two. And you're making those choices even now. By the very basis of how we live. We speak of that in John 12, and we've referenced John 12, verse 47 and 48. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. I've come to speak hope, joy, peace. But if you reject it, those words that I've spoken, those opportunities I've given you, those will be the ones that will turn and condemn you in that last day. Again, choices you make. Paul spoke of it again in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 and 10. We labor, whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of him. That's what Paul was motivated by. That's what drove him. I want to be pleasing unto God. Why? Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Did you humble yourself, or did you reject him? Coming a day in which that's going to be now an eternal consequence. Because I will be with him in eternity. I'll be raised to eternal life, or I will be raised to eternal condemnation, damnation, separation from God. There's a finality. When I reach death, or when the end of this world comes, which I no longer have that choice. And so I have it now, but I will lose that when I pass from this life. We think about it in Luke 16. The rich man and Lazarus. We see a separation, a gulf. You've passed from this life. You've now entered into your eternal consequence. Living for yourself, separated from God, humbling yourself, being a faithful person, you're now in Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort. And you cannot cross one from another. There is a gulf that's fixed. There's a finality. The death ends that option, that choice. And now our fate, if you will, our eternity is sealed. I think about it as you look at Matthew chapter 25 and that, in a sense, a great judgment chapter. Three illustrations given for us. Matthew 25 comes to the end of the idea of the 10 virgins. Verse 10 through 13, and the door was shut. What side of the door are you on? You were prepared and entered in and you enjoy the feast. You didn't prepare yourself. You weren't watching. You weren't waiting. You're outside. And the door will not be opened unto you. He moves forward and you think about the idea of the talents, the servants that are entrusted as stewards. Matthew 25 and verse 19, there comes a time of reckoning. It's an accounting. The masters come home. Bring your books. Show them what you've done. Show them how you live. It's too late at this point to go and change it. It's too late now to go be industrious. And you'll either hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, verse 21 and 23, or you'll be cast out. Wicked, slothful, unprofitable servant. You didn't humble yourself unto God. You're worthless unto me. And now that's sealed. Matthew 25 and verse 31 and following, now it's a time of separation. It's a time of parting. The goats and the sheep, they've wandered, if you will, in the fields together, but now it's time to separate them. There is, again, a finality. And that finality, again, is shown unto us in verse 46 at the conclusion. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. What was really the difference? Did you apply? Did you humble yourself? Did you walk with God? Did you submit yourself to His authority? Did you watch? That's centered through here in verse chapter 24 and 25. Did you watch? Were you ready? You see, the time of this life, that's the time of our choice. We choose, am I going to humble myself? Am I going to follow God, or am I going to reject His authority? Jesus came to give us the option. John chapter 3 and verse 17, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I came to give hope. I came to give life. I came to give joy. But are you going to follow me? Are you going to humble yourself unto me? Are you going to reject me? That's your choice. But when you pass from this life, the choice is gone. The opportunity is gone. And now eternity is sealed. And so it's a sobering reminder to us that yes, we have choices, we have decisions, but those choices and those decisions have eternal consequences. And so what will we do with Jesus? Behold the goodness and the severity of God. On them that fell, on those that rejected Him, there is severity, and eventually they will utterly be cut off. But towards us, we can enjoy the goodness and the blessings of God if we continue in His goodness, if we continue humbling ourselves to Him. That's the exhortation that still comes to us tonight. What will you do with Jesus? Perhaps there's one who wants to know more about the will of God or knows what he needs to do, but he has not yet taken that choice, that opportunity to humble himself, to be faithful and obedient unto God. When we study the New Testament, we see that those in the first century, as they humbled themselves to God, they heard the gospel, they believed that great message, they repented of their sins, they confessed Jesus as the Christ, they were immersed, baptized in water for the remission of their sins. That pattern begins in Acts chapter 2 and continues all the way through the book. We can do the same thing and enjoy the same blessings. Perhaps there's one who says, I've enjoyed those blessings, but I wandered away. I begin rejecting once again the authority of Christ, and I need to humble myself to Him once again. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 9. We can come home as long as we're in this life. As long as we're still in that time of choice to humble ourselves once again. Perhaps we're walking faithfully and we want to encourage you. Keep on. We're closing out a year, looking forward into a new one. It's a great time. All the time, but especially now, our minds naturally go to what changes do I need to make, or what do I need to keep up? Decide to keep on being faithful. And if we can help in that charge in any way, if that invitation is extended to us now, we'll sing this song of encouragement. Let us know as together we stand, as we sing.